Genesis chapter 2, verses 4 to 25.
These are the generations of the heavens and earth. When they were created at the time, Yahweh made the heavens and earth. There was still no wild bush on earth, nor had any wild plant sprung up, for Yahweh had not yet sent the rain to earth, and there were no human beings to till the soil. Instead, a flow of water would well up from the ground and irrigate the soil.
So Yahweh fashioned an earth creature out of the clay of the earth, and blew into its nostrils the breath of life. And the earth creature became a living being. Yahweh planted a garden to the east, in Eden, land of pleasure, and placed in it the earth creature that had been made. Then Yahweh caused every kind of tree, enticing to look at and good to eat, to spring from the soil. In the center of the garden was the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
A river flowed through Eden to water the garden, after which it branched into four tributaries. The first stream is named Sihon, or Spreader. It circles through Havilah, a land rich in gold, gold of the highest quality. There are gum resins there and precious onyx stones. The second stream is named Gihon, or Gusher, and it flows through the entire land of Cush. The third stream is the Tigris, which borders Assyria on the east. The fourth stream is the Euphrates.
Then Yahweh took the earth creature and settled it in the garden of Eden so that it might cultivate and care for the land. Yahweh commanded the earth creature, "You may eat of any tree in the garden except for the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You must not eat from that tree, for the day you eat from that tree, you will die." Yes.
Then Yahweh said, "It is not good for the earth creature to be alone. I will make a fitting companion for it." So from the soil, Yahweh made all of the various beasts and all of the birds of the air and brought them to the earth creature to be named. Whatever the earth creature called each one, that became its name. The earth creature gave names to all the cattle, all the birds of the air, and all the wild animals.
But none of them proved to be a fitting companion. So Yahweh made the earth creature fall into a deep sleep. And while it slept, God divided the earth creature in two and closed up the flesh from its sides. Yahweh then fashioned the two halves into the male and female and presented them to one another.
When the male realized what had happened, she exclaimed, "This is the time, this is the one, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Now she will be woman and I will be man because we are one. And flesh, that is why people leave their parents and become bonded to one another. The two become one flesh. Now the woman and man were both naked, though they were not ashamed." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
First attempt to try to include our online community, and so obviously the sound didn't come out quite the way we would hope, but we'll keep working on that because I think it's important to be able to include those folks in our service. And you can see there in your bulletin what the scripture passage was if you want to read it for yourself. I'll give you a heads up, my light just went out above me, so I'm having a little trouble seeing up here, so hopefully all will go well. Well, last week we heard the first account of creation found in Genesis. Today's reading was the second creation story. Did you realize there are two completely different creation stories? Last week we heard that two humans were created on the sixth day as the culmination of creation, and they were empowered to care for all the wonders which our artist God had created. This week we just heard that one human was formed first. And then, after all the other parts of creation have come to be formed, then a second human was created from the first human's side. In the first account, God simply speaks and creates humans. But in the second account, God gets God's hands dirty, creating the Adam, which is a non-gendered human being, from the Adama, the soil, the human from the humus. In the first account, God simply speaks, the word Adam is the original Hebrew word found in Genesis, and it means humankind as a whole, as a plural noun, while sometimes meaning just one individual human, a singular noun. And the one human is transformed by God into a man and a woman, the Isha and the Ish, in the Hebrew, which is the original language, right? The Bible wasn't written in English to begin with. That word has been translated often as the word rib, but it literally means one of the sides, as in the side of a frame, which I never knew until I went to seminary. And I think it's important for us to share what we learn in seminary with the congregations that helped to send us there. Both of them created in one day, after all the other animals, versus one human created, then the animals, and then the one human being separated into man and woman. That's a pretty big difference, and it's the most immediately noticeable difference in these two accounts. But there are several other conflicting details that we don't have time to fully investigate in these two creation stories as well. In fact, one of my scripture professors says that these two accounts are irreconcilable. And guess what? That's okay. Neither of these stories is meant to be a historical or a scientific recounting of how things came to be. One was written in the 6th century BC and the other in 10th century BC. But both are about the relationship of God and God's creation, told in the form of stories. As I said last week, Genesis 1 primarily teaches us that God saw that all of creation was good. It was supremely good, and that we humans are made in the image of God. We are all God's image bearers. The second account in Genesis 2 shows us God's concern for humans to be in relationship with one another. Does anyone really think that God did not know the best companion for a human was another human? But that's what Genesis 2 tells us, as God forms and brings all the animals to the first human in search of a companion. And only after they have been deemed incompatible does God create that second human. No, I don't think so. I think God knew. But this story that the people created sparks our imagination and our memory. And we are reminded that as God's image bearers, we are to be in connection and relationship with one another. The one human, representing all of humankind, has been formed with a need for human companionship. Now, for some, that companionship is found through marriage, and that is often the first relationship that comes to mind. But there are many, many people who have deep and meaningful relationships with family and friends, and who meet their need for human connection and companionship and community without ever being married, or after the death or divorce of a spouse. And let's face it, even those of us who are married still need our other relationships as well. So we must not limit our understanding of the human connection and relationships which God wants for us as only being through marriage. The second story, which is generally considered the older one by biblical scholars, also tells us that we were made from common dirt, from dust, we often remind ourselves on Ash Wednesday. And we're also made from stardust, which may sound a little bit more appealing. And indeed, science tells us that we are truly connected. The atoms and energy that make up our body are also found elsewhere in creation, and we share that same breath of life with all living things. We follow the same cycles of birth and death, reproduction and renewal. For anyone who is skeptical of the existence of God, One partial explanation is this: God is the one through whom we are related to and connected with everything, everywhere. But that is not the end of this story. Today's story also describes another dimension of our being. That is that we also have the potential for the not so good. In this story, there are two special trees. One is the tree of life. It is there to enjoy, suggesting vitality, fruitfulness, growth, aliveness, all that we long and hope to be that is good for us. But the second tree, it is to be avoided, even if, at first, it seems harmless or even attractive. It is the tree of knowledge of good and evil in this story. Theologian Brian McLaren suggests that possibly this tree represents the desire of humans to play God and judge parts of God's creation as evil or less worthy, which God already considers good and very worthy. Do you see the danger there? God's judging is always wise, fair, true, merciful, and restorative. But have you noticed that our human judging is often not those things? Or that our judging is often based on ignorance, meaning just things we just really don't know? We humans so often can be biased, retaliatory, devaluing, and hurtful. When we judge, we often misjudge. If we humans start playing God, and or maybe I should say when we start playing God and judging what is good and what is not, how long does it take to start judging which person or tribe is good and deserves to live, and which group or person is bad and deserves to die, or deserves to be paid poverty wages for physically demanding and essential work, existing only to make the lives of others better and richer? How long does it take before humans judge a species of animals as good and deserving to live or bad and deserving of extinction? How long does it take for some of us to decide this land or this body of water, let there be light, is good and worthy of being preserved and cared for, and which is bad and of no value, except for the purposes of plundering, profiting, and polluting? We can see that in choosing the second tree instead of the first, we soon become violent, hateful, and destructive. As we will see in the testimony of the scripture stories we will be exploring in this series, humans will turn our blessing and privilege and knowledge into a license to kill, to exploit, and to destroy both the earth and other people. And in so doing, humans create the very evil in themselves, which they claim to detect in others. In fact, the more we judge and accuse, condemn and harm, the less we will fulfill our potential as image bearers of God. Last week's creation story was full of awe and wonder, with plenty of warm feelings about the magnificence and mystery and beauty for which we are, or should be, so grateful. But this week's creation story presents us with our biggest challenge of being human. We have to constantly make the crucial choice. Do we partake of the tree of life? Do we pursue true living by seeing and valuing the goodness inherent in all of creation, including humans that are different from ourselves, and thus recognize the image of God in others? Or do we choose to partake in the consequences of that other tree so that we are constantly misjudging, playing God, and causing serious harm to our fellow human beings and to the earth? My friends, it's a big responsibility to bear God's image. We can choose to use our intelligence, our skills, our physical strength, and our giftedness to be creative and generous, or we can use it to be selfish and destructive. We have seen more than enough examples of the latter. We have seen the death and destruction that comes from judging. We have seen the damage done and that is continuing to be done when women are judged to be inferior to men, or the sick and disabled are judged as less valuable than the healthy. Just in the last few years, we have seen an increase in violence and hate by white supremacists and neo-Nazis, as well as those who long for the perceived glory days of the Confederacy. So many of us in our nation wanted to believe that that kind of thing was all in the past. But our Black siblings have long known that it is very much a part of the present, and it results in deaths, physical injuries, and much emotional trauma. Researchers tell us that it is this need for companionship, a need to be part of something bigger than themselves, that attracts many of the young white men to these hate groups, such as we saw in Charlottesville, Virginia a few years ago, and which we continue to see in the news. In fact, the FBI has identified many of these hate groups as homegrown terrorists. And it doesn't stop there. Our environment has been exploited and climate change exacerbated by decisions made in the interest of money rather than what is best for the common good. So that when a natural disaster occurs, past actions make the consequences even more devastating. One example of this is the drastic change to the watershed of Houston, Texas, where over 70%, of its wetlands were paved over prior to Hurricane Harvey. Now, to be clear, the lost wetlands would not have absorbed all of the water from that flood. But if they had still been here, the flooding would have been a lot less painful, experts tell us. The earth was created to absorb water when it rains. But when too much of it is paved over and built upon in a dense area like Houston, the water simply has nowhere else to go but to the roadways and lower situated buildings. We have played God and judged the benefit of making money from development worth the added risk of the negative consequences to the natural world. We have played God and judged that business profits for some are worth the risks and damages to creation and to other human beings. And sadly, those who are least have any control over this are the ones that those careless decisions most affect, and they're most harmed by the devastation that results. Let us remember that we are indeed made in the image of God. That is where our light comes from. All the good we will ever do in this life comes from the divine light shining through us. We all can make our work, our money, our time, our words, and our other assets to be used for creativity and generosity. Or we can choose to use those things to be selfish and destructive. Our hand can be made into a fist or extended in peace. Can be used to push someone down or to lift them up, to play a musical instrument or wield a weapon, to steal or to serve. Let us resolve to stretch our hand and choose life as God intended. And let us use our sphere of influence to enable community actions that truly care for one another and for all of creation. May it be so.